Hey, welcome. We're going to be teaching today about the supernatural abundance of God. So if you could do with a little more abundance flowing in your life, then stay tuned for more.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. My name is Ashley Terades and this is my wife Carly. And we're so glad you've joined us today in the lounge. We've got an exciting program for you. In fact, we're talking about the supernatural provision of God, especially in the area of finances. You know, we've been talking about how really we should all be believing God for more so that we can give more. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it talks about how God is able to supply our needs and we can have an abundance for every good work. That should be our goal. We should want an abundance so that we can help and give more than we've ever helped and given before.
Amen.
Praise God. And we give to different charities, we give to churches, we give to ministries, we sponsor children, we build houses in third world nations. We do all this type of stuff because we believe money is just a tool. T-O-O-L. I have to be careful because sometimes our American viewers don't understand my accent.
I can translate if necessary.
I think in America they call it a tall.
A
wrench. Money's like a wrench. and you can use it. You can use it for the kingdom, praise God. And Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you know what? We have the power to get wealth so that we can help God establish his covenant. And that's the whole idea of prospering financially. And we've been looking particularly at a story in 2 Kings 4. We've been looking at 2 Kings 4, the story of Elisha and the widow woman. And so far what we've covered is, we've covered a few things. The first thing is that she came to God for her answer. She came to the man of God, Elisha, and said she had a need, right? And she came to him and
so
asked.
So at the point of crisis, she sought God.
She sought God at the point of crisis, which is always good. And then the next thing we find out is that the man of God, Elisha, said, "What do you have in your house?" You know, so many times we miss this, right? We don't understand that God's going to use what's already in our hands, what's already in our house.
Yeah, he started with something very natural. He asked her, what do you have to start with? Start there.
What do you have to, what can you sow? What can you actually work with? And oftentimes we'll be looking for the big spectacular thing when God's going to use something seemingly small that's already in our hands. Maybe he'll use your existing job. Maybe he'll use a small business idea. Maybe he'll use a colleague. Maybe he'll use past contacts. Maybe he'll use your hobbies or experience or your passions to get resources to you. And we know we've had this a number of times where God's used what we've already got in our hands, put his super to our natural. And we looked at other stories in the Bible about supernatural increase and mentioned some of those that when God gives his supernatural increase, it's often started with a natural place of obedience. So, you know, the water into wine, they had to fill the water pots up. You know, natural form of obedience. The feeding of the 5,000, they gave Jesus the loaves and the fish, natural obedience. And on and on we could go. The getting the coin out the fish's mouth to pay the taxes, Peter had to go fishing. So the first thing is that she went to God. God gave a specific instruction, asked her what she had in her house. Then God gave a specific instruction, do these things. God will give us specific instructions and we need to obey those things. But here's the deal. Those instructions won't, you know, a lot of the time they won't make logical sense to our natural minds. And we said last time, that's because we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God now. We've changed kingdom. When you get born again, you change kingdom and the ways of doing things changed. And we gave some examples, like if you want to be first, you got to be last. If you've got an enemy, you love them. You know, if you want wisdom, you speak in babble, you speak in tongues. If you want to increase financially, you give, and so on and so forth. We understand that actually as we do these things, the kingdom of God things don't make logical sense to the world's way of doing things. So we have to renew our minds, right, to the kingdom way of doing things.
Yep, that's Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we need some transformation in the area of our provision, our financial stewardship, our abundance, man, if what we've been doing is not working, then how about we conform ourselves to the Word's way of doing things, rather than the world's way of doing things.
Amen. And they're polar opposite a lot of the time. And they don't make logical sense. The world's way of doing things don't make sense in the natural realm. But that's okay. It's because we have a different kingdom now. So what Elisha told this widow woman to do in 2 Kings 4 didn't make logical sense. She said she had a little bit of oil. And then Elisha said, well, go and borrow as many pots and pans and jars as you can.
Those two things don't really add up, do they? Like, I've got this tiny little bit of oil. Okay, great. So go and get loads and loads of pots to put oil in.
I've only got a little bit of oil. Why would I do that? It doesn't make logical sense. But credit to the widow woman here. She followed the word of God. She followed the instructions of the Lord. We need to follow the instructions of the Lord.
That takes faith.
It does take faith. A lot of the times, God will tell us to do things, whether it's through His Word. We know what His Word says, for instance, about Proverbs 11:24. There's one who gives, yet increases more. And yet there's one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. That's an instruction from the Lord to give. It doesn't make sense logically. Logically, if you give some away, you're going to have less. But in the kingdom of God, you give some away, you're going to have more. And so on. So there's so many examples like this where it doesn't make logical sense, but by faith we obey these things, praise God, and they work, they come about. So she obeyed God when he told her, when Elisha told her to do these things, she obeyed God and she did exactly what he told her to do. The next thing we looked at was that she closed the door. She went into her house, her and her sons, and she closed the door. She shut the door behind her. And this is very significant. She shut out unbelief. She shut out her neighbors. She shut out any passing people. She shut out unbelief. See, in this situation, unbelief will come along and say, this isn't going to work. Why are you doing this? You're crazy. This isn't going to work. And many times when we believe God, there's going to be unbelief at the door. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people tend to certain things, maybe people with good intentions. You know, Peter told Jesus, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. There could be another way. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because he understood that was unbelief trying to get in and sway him in a different direction. So we may have unbelief. We need to shut that unbelief out. We need to do the best we can to not give voice to that unbelief. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. And it's our choice on what we listen to and what we see. A lot of the time we can limit those things. I just want to challenge you. This isn't works or this isn't any type of law. This isn't going to change how God sees you. God loves you. He's accepted you. You are accepted in His sight. He loves you. So this doesn't change how God sees you, but it's going to help you receive from God. And that would be shut out unbelief in your life.
Yeah.
Maybe turn off the TV, or get rid of the TV altogether. Maybe turn off the talk radio and it's all unbelief, unbelief, unbelief. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a good show, the commercials might kill you. You know, the commercial tell you, you're going to be sick with this, sick with that. You need these pills, them pills. You need to have these possessions to be successful. Some of the programs nowadays, they seem innocent, but they're actually pushing agendas. They're pushing things, you know, like ungodly agendas, immoral things and things like that. Get rid of that unbelief. Don't let that unbelief in. Praise God. Shut yourself off to that unbelief. Shut the door of your life and focus on the Word of God. Focus on the good report. You know, Philippians 4 verse 8 talks about how we should meditate on these things, and those things are things that are noble, things that are true, things that are praiseworthy, of good report. Things like that is what we should be spending our time meditating on, not things that are frivolous or things full of unbelief. Mm-hmm. Amen? So that's another thing she did. She closed the door to unbelief. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Awesome. And then, so today we're going to move on with this. So she closed, we're at the point now, this is 2 Kings 4, and verse 4, she closed the door to unbelief, she shut the door, it says, and she poured into the vessels and set the full ones aside. So she followed the instructions, she took that jar of oil. Remember, this didn't make logical sense, a small jar of oil. She said, all I have is a little bit of oil. And she started to pour it into the empty jars. And what happened was the oil came out and it started to just supernaturally increase as she poured it. It increased as she poured it. It didn't increase before she poured it. It increased as she poured it. A little bit like 2 Corinthians 9:10. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, the seed that you sow increases. As she poured out, it increased. With the feeding of the 5,000, as they broke the bread and started to pass it around, it increased. And it was almost like you could miss the miracle if you wasn't careful. Mm-hmm. Because as she poured it out, it just kept increasing.
It just didn't run out.
The oil didn't run out. It started to increase.
Until
they ran out of pots. And sometimes this could be a miracle in our life we haven't even realized. This has happened to us, where our finances haven't run out at certain times when they should have done, when our outgo is more than our income. And rather than all of a sudden getting like a check in the mail and it's a miracle, it's been the fact that our finances just haven't run out. And we've just kept spending like we need to spend, buying the essentials and things like that, but our finances haven't run out. Here, the oil didn't run out. So in verse 4, she's pouring the oil, it didn't run out. And then verse 5, she set aside the full ones. And then in verse 5, it says, so she went from him and she's doing exactly what Elisha told her to do. So in verse 4, Elisha's telling her what to do. Verse 5, she does it. She did exactly what she told her to do. She brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. And then in verse 6, it says, now it came to pass when the vessels were full. So she had a lot of vessels full of oil here. We know there were a lot of vessels because first of all, Elisha told her to get a lot of vessels. And second of all, we can read later on that she sold this oil and it paid off her debts and some. So she had a lot of vessels here. She poured it all out. And it came to pass that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. So she got the last vessel was full, the last pot was full. You can imagine this scene in her kitchen full of oil, liquid gold everywhere. And she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And her son said, there is not another vessel. There's no other vessels. We've used up every vessel we've got. There's no other vessels, no other pots
I wonder
left.
If she would have tried to collect a few more if she'd have known what the deal was going to be in the first place.
Well, this is one of my points. You know what? What was the determining factor of the size of this harvest? Who determined the size of this harvest? Was this God saying, this is how big the harvest is going to be? Or was this the widow woman determining the size of her harvest?
Right. So the supply only ran out when the pots ran out.
Amen.
So, you know, I think heaven's resources are limitless. God's resources that he wants to get to us. I mean, he paves his streets with gold and owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's not hard up,
Amen.
Right? He has an abundance that he's trying to get to us. But I think we can limit how much we receive from him by the capacity of our own heart.
Amen.
How far can we believe God? How many nets can we put out? How many oil jars can we stand out? How far are we willing to believe God in the area of provision?
Come on. It's like you said about the nets. It's like with Simon with the nets, you know. Jesus said to Simon, cast your nets on the other side. And Simon just cast a net, just one net. Mm-hmm. And there were so many fish in that net that the net began to break and he had to call his partners and it almost sank his boat, then it almost sank his partner's boat. Well, how do you know, if he'd thrown out 10 nets and got 10 partners to help him, he could have had all those nets full up, all those boats full up. So here's the facts right here. When it comes to God's supernatural resources, we're the limiting factor. We're the ones who can determine the size of our harvest. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9, it talks about those who reap those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. Those who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. Who determines the size of the harvest there? We do. Are we going to sow sparingly so we reap sparingly? Or are we going to sow bountifully and reap bountifully? And I tell people this, when it comes to giving, you'll know when you're sowing bountifully. Because there's different amounts for different people. You know, some people, if they sow a certain amount of money, that's a small gift for them. But for others, that same amount of money might be a big gift. Mm-hmm. It's not about the amount of money we've got. It's about our attitude towards it. And it's about in comparison to what we have. That's why God asks us to give in percentages. And you know, the widow woman with the two mites, when Jesus was sat in front of the treasury, the widow woman came and just threw in two mites. And Jesus called that bountiful giving. He called that generous giving. So she reaped bountifully. So we can determine if we're going to give sparingly and reap sparingly or give bountifully and reap bountifully. It's up to us. And we can tell if we're sowing bountifully or not by our flesh's reaction.
Right.
If our flesh freaks out.
It's not comfortable.
If our flesh freaks out, it's probably a bountiful gift. It's probably a bountiful seed we're sowing. And hold on, you're going to get a good harvest. You know, if God asks you to write a check and you start writing it out and your hands start sweating and you start shaking as you write the check, you put the check in the offering bucket and it's like, it's gone. You go to bed that night thinking, did I really give that amount? You wake up the next morning, did I really give that amount?
You'd just be happy with a refund, never mind a harvest.
Yeah, that's right. You're not looking at the harvest. You'd just be happy for the refund. If that's how you've given, that's probably a bountiful gift for you. Hold on. Don't dig up the seed. God's going to give you a bountiful harvest. But my point is this. This widow woman determined the size of her harvest. She could have had one jar, one pot, and it filled up and the overflow would have stopped. Or she could have got 1,000 jars and they all would have been filled up. Because here's the thing, the supernatural overflow of God will only flow where the overflow can flow.
Oh, you better say that again.
I better say that again. I'm not sure if I can.
That's a tongue twister.
I'm not sure if I can.
What does it mean?
The supernatural overflow of God will only flow where the supernatural overflow of God can flow. So right here, what happened was, is every time when there was an empty vessel, that supernatural overflow of oil was flowing into that empty vessel. Mm-hmm. But as soon as the last vessel was full, the oil ceased.
It had nowhere else to go.
It had nowhere else to go. The overflow had nowhere else to flow. And God is a God of supernatural abundance. God is a God of extravagant God, but he's not a God of waste. And no oil was just wasted on the floor. And sometimes we're asking God for supernatural increase. We're asking God for extra resources. We haven't got any empty pots out for it to go into.
Right.
We've got no plan of what we're going to do with these finances. We've got no savings plan. We've got no giving plan. We've got no plan. We just say, God, give me $1 million. But we've got no plan of what to do with that. Mm-hmm. Have you written out a plan of what you'd do with that?
If the abundance came tomorrow, where would it go?
That's right. If you got that increase, if you got that pay increase, what would you do with it? If you got that extra job, what would you do with it? If your business took off and did 5 times the revenue, what are you going to do with it? It's not good enough just to consume it on yourself. God wants you to have a plan. And I believe as we have a plan, it's more likely for the supernatural overflow to flow. And one of these things is giving. Do you have a giving plan? Have some giving pots out, if you like. Be ready. Be like, you know what, when the money comes in, I want to give extra to this charity, I want to give extra to these missionaries, I want to sponsor these children, do this, do that. And that's one thing me and my wife have done. We've given percentages away. We give a percentage to our church first. We give to missionaries. We have ministries we partner with, good ministries that are teaching the gospel. We partner with those ministries. We give benevolence, and then we give to missionaries. And a lot of these people, we say to them, we're not going to give you a set amount. We're not going to give you $50 a month or $100 a month. We're going to give you a percentage of what comes in. And you know, when we was in business full time, mm-hmm. I would tell them this, I'm going to give you a percentage of what comes in. And it doesn't matter if you know, 10,000 comes in or 100,000 comes in, you're going to get a percentage of it. So what happened was I had missionaries all around the world praying for my prosperity.
That's a great deal.
They wanted my business to take off because they knew they were going to get more mm-hmm. in the offering because of that. So mm-hmm. have some pots out. Get ready for God's increase. Are you ready for God's increase? Are you ready for God to bless you? Can you handle God's blessing? What does it look like for you to be blessed? What does it look like for you to be debt free? What does it look like for you to be pain-free? What does it look like for you to have peace in your mind? What does it look like to have your relationships restored? Have you gone ahead and planned for this? Have you started thinking about this and imagining and dreaming what this would look like? Mm-hmm. This widow woman must have had some idea, otherwise she wouldn't have gathered all these pots. She must have had some vision of this overflow coming to her life, otherwise she wouldn't have taken these pots. The fact she got these pots showed that she was in faith.
Right. And you know, In this story in 2 Kings, we're clearly talking about provision. We're talking about financial abundance. But this principle works for anything. Mm-hmm. This principle of abundance, God is excessive. You know, we have favor on our lives because we're His kids, mm-hmm. right? We have an abundance of favor, an abundance of opportunities, an abundance of creative and witty ideas and inventions on the inside of us. We have an abundance of opportunities, doors of opportunities that are opening to us. But I think sometimes we miss them because we just don't have a plan. We're not looking for them. Mm-hmm. We're looking for something, like you said, something spectacular.
Right.
But yet God is supernatural. He's not always spectacular.
Amen.
But there is an abundance, not just in the financial realm, but I believe we have an abundance, you know, in every area of our life, in our children, to our children's children as well.
Amen.
An abundance of health and vitality and fertility in our bodies and in our minds, amen. Abundance of new relationships and new places to go and new doors of opportunity that are open to us. So, you know, I don't think we even need to limit these pots that we're putting out, these nets that we're casting, that we're putting out, if you like. We don't need to limit that just to financial abundance. We can expand our thinking to encompass everything.
Amen. That's the truth right mm-hmm. there. That really is. God is the biggest giver. He's a good God, and He's trying to get things to us. He's not holding out on us. He's waiting for us to take that step of faith and believe Him so He can get things to us. You know, James puts it this way. James says, you know, faith without corresponding actions, faith without works. If you study that out, faith without corresponding actions is dead. So in this instance, the widow woman believed this oil was going to increase. Otherwise, she wouldn't have obeyed the word of God and gone out and got all these pots. If she was like, well, I'm not sure this is going to work. She could have said to Elijah, yeah, okay, it's a good idea. Shut the door, prayed with her sons, no increase, no oil, no money, would have got poor. And she could have said, you know, I prayed and God never provided my needs. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because she didn't follow the instructions God had given her. God had given her some instructions. She did it and then the increase came. Mm-hmm. But she determined the size of her harvest and she could have had 1,000 pots and that oil would have kept coming. See, God's resources are limitless. We've got so programmed into believing that there's a limit to resources that we always think, well, there's a limit. If someone else is prospering, that's less I'm going to prosper.
It's going to run out somewhere.
It's going to run out. And, you know, we've got to be careful. Now, I'm all for stewardship and everything, so don't get me wrong. There's a place for stewardship and being a good steward of our resources. But if we believe there's a limit to God's resources, we'll treat things differently. We'll be scared to give because we think, how are we going to get it back again? You know, that's it. It's gone.
Well, what we do is we act like it's our last $10 yep. or however much that we're giving away. Yep. Like we're never going to have $10 again.
Yep.
But when we really believe that God, there's a flow through going on,
yep.
you know, that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, man, we're going to keep on giving because it's going to keep on coming.
He gives seed. Amen. And the seed we sow is going to increase. It's not the seed we think about sowing. It's not the seed that, you know, we're planning on sowing. No, it's the seed we actually sow increases. And like Carly said, if we really understood this, that when we give, more's coming, and there's no limit to God's resources. See, in Mark 4, there's a great parable about the sower. And in Mark 4, it talks about the four types of ground, and it's talking about the Word of God, the seed of God, the seed of the Word of God going into our hearts. The four different grounds are the different heart conditions we can have. And the first heart condition is so hard that the seed of the Word of God doesn't even penetrate, and the devil just steals the Word right away. The second type of ground, the seed goes in, and it grows up, and people are excited about the things of God. But there's no foundation, right? There's no root. So what happens is it withers and dies. The third type of ground is where a lot of the body of Christ live, and that means that the seed grows up, but there's thorns that grow up with it, and those thorns choke the Word and make it unfruitful. The fourth type of ground is the ground where it goes in, and it's a good ground for the seed to germinate in, and it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold return. Now, here's the thing. I always thought 30, 60, 100-fold is just times, you know, like a fold is time. So 100 times what's sown. So if you sow something, it's 100 times back. And we've seen that in our own lives, personally. We've sown some seeds, and we haven't named our seed and sown so we can get. We don't live to we don't give to get. We live to give, and we give because we love God and we love giving, but God won't be out giving, so he ends up giving back to us. And we've seen a 100-fold return, and that's fine, 100 times.
If you get addicted to giving, God's going to supply your habit, right?
That's awesome. If you get addicted to giving, God's going to support your habit. I like that. And that's true. You can get addicted to giving God's way, and he'll support your habit. But here's the thing, that 100-fold isn't 100 times, 100-fold. And what that actually means, if you study it out, is limitless resources. See, Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply your needs according to his riches, not according to your country's economy, not according to your family tree, not according to your job, according to his riches in glory. So a 100-fold is actually limitless. Let me explain this to you real quickly. A fold isn't a times, a fold is a double. So if you take something and double it, that's folding. So if you fold something, you're doubling it. And if you fold it again, you're doubling it again. And the easiest way I can illustrate this to you is the old proverb. It's an old ancient proverb, but it makes perfect sense. If you're a mathematician, you're going to love this. If you're not, just bear with me. But there's an old proverb where you get a chessboard and you put a grain of rice on the first square of the chessboard. And then the second square, you double it. So on the first square of the chessboard, you have one grain of rice. The second square of the chessboard, you have two grains of rice. The third square of the chessboard, you have four grains of rice. And the fourth square of the chessboard, you have...
Eight
grains of rice. You're paying attention.
16, 32, 64.
16, 32, 64. And it keeps doubling. That's the fold. It keeps doubling. Now, there's 64 squares on a chessboard. So this is 64-fold, if you like. This is folding
64,
something 64
double,
times.
Doubling
it 64 times. So we already established it's going to go 16, 32, 64, 128. Just go, I'm not
going
to keep
going.
Babe. But anyway, it's going to keep doubling. 256?
Listen.
256?
You probably should quit where you're headed.
I only know this because that's what memory comes in. 128 and 256. Oh, 512, 512, and then 1 terabyte. But anyway, so...
I don't know what square of the chessboard has the terabyte on it.
So
but.
this is folding. This is what it means to fold. It means to actually double and then double the double and then double the double. So my point is this. A 64-fold of one grain of rice... doubling one grain of rice every time, 64 times.
How big is that pile?
You can get your calculators out. Your calculators won't be able to handle it. You'll have to Google this. But here's the deal. If you take one grain of rice and double it 64 times, 64-fold of one grain of rice, it creates a mountain of rice bigger than Everest.
Wow.
Bigger than Mount Everest. And
which
right
is
now,
what,
I know.
28,000 feet tall.
Yeah,
or
right now, people are saying, that you can't be serious, Ashley. I'm telling you.
Try it.
Google it. What they call it when it's a fake thing? Snopes?
Snopes.
Snopes or whatever. Yeah. You can fact check this all you want. That's the truth. It's a mathematical phenomenon. When something is doubled, when it hits 64, it's like infinity. It's limitless. There's more grains of rice on that chessboard than the earth can produce in 1,000 years of rice producing whole world.
That's a lot of rice production.
Now, that's only 64 times. 100 times is a number so big we can't even, reconcile it. It's completely unlimitless. Or limitless. Not unlimitless.
Yes.
Unlimitless,
it's
double
unlimited.
Negative. Unlimited. Limitless or unlimited. Mm-hmm. So really what God's saying here with the 100-fold return is God's resources are limitless. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, he created the earth. And, you know, he just wanted a little bit of space around with some stars and some planets. And poof, before you know it, there's a limitless space out there. They can't even find the end of space. That's how big it is. And it keeps growing. That's how God does things. He is limitless. And God is limitless when it comes to his resources. He has a limitless plan for your resources. If you tap into God's resources, if you tap into his riches in glory, it's limitless. There's no limit with God.
The only limit to God is how we respond to him.
How we receive it. Mm-hmm. Have we got capacity to receive it? And, you know, we could see story after story in the Bible, how things are limitless, how God supplies our needs according to His riches in glory. And right here with the oil, she poured that oil out and it just kept flowing and flowing until the jars filled up. Now, the last thing I want to end with is verse 7. This is 2 Kings 4, verse 7. It says, then she came and told the man of God. So she went back to Elijah and said, look, we've done what you said. We poured out the oil. It increased. All our jars are filled up now. And it's this. And Elijah said to her, go and sell the oil and pay the debt, you and your sons, and then live off the rest. So there was another instruction here. God didn't give her the money directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God gives us the power to get wealth. Remember the Lord your God, for it's He who gives you the power to get wealth, so He can establish His covenant.
So He didn't just come and drop money into her lap without her having to have any effort invested in it.
God wants to partner with us, and He wants us to do our part. And grace is provided, but our part by faith is to receive it.
That's a good way to see it. It's a partnership. There's two sides to that relationship.
It is. God's not going to rain money down. If you're praying God for money directly, then you're asking God to counterfeit money. He's not going to do that. He's going to give you the power to get wealth. He's going to give you them extra opportunities. He's going to give you those business ideas, those witty inventions. He's going to give you that favor at work. He's going to give you that small business idea you can start up. He's going to give you the power to get wealth. And right here, this widow woman had the power to get wealth. She had this oil, but this oil on its own was useless until she went and sold it and changed it into money. So she took this oil, sold it, changed it into money, and not only did she have enough money to pay her debts off and make sure her sons didn't go to prison, Elijah says here, you and your sons live on the rest. She had an abundance. She had enough and extra. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says that God is able to, all grace abound towards you. That you have in all sufficiency in all things, also have an abundance for every good work. So not only is your needs going to be met, you're going to have an abundance for every good work. That's God's plan for you. That's God's will for you. That's God's best for you. She had her needs met, getting her sons out of prison, paying her debt off, and she had an abundance for every good work. She had more than enough. She could live off the rest, praise God.
That's what God wants us to do. I believe that's God's will for everyone.
Amen. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
Praise God. So we want to thank you for watching today. We're out of time, but I want to pray for you real quickly before we let you go. Father God, I thank you that your will for us is to have an abundance for every good work. I thank you, Lord, you give us the power to get wealth. And I thank you, Lord, your will for us is to increase financially, just like we increase in every area of our lives, Lord. I thank you, you've provided it, and we've taken it by faith, Lord, and accepting it as ours, and giving you glory for it, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back real soon. But until next time, remember, don't just settle for living a normal life when you could be living the abundant life. We'll be back next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com.
Hey, I know you've been blessed by this teaching on supernatural increase. I want to tell you about a whole series we have available that includes this lesson and others, talking about how you can experience the supernatural blessings of God in your life. Go to the instructions on the website. You can see how to get a hold of it. It's going to really bless you, not just in your finances, but in other areas of your life. God wants you to receive His supernatural blessing. He wants you to live off of His resources, and He wants to supply your needs according to His riches in glory. So go ahead and get this teaching. It's going to really bless you, and you're going to increase in Jesus' name.
Download your free copy of Ashley and Carly's teaching notes at our website, TerraDesMinistries.com. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
So Simon had done everything he could in his natural resources to provide. And some of us are like that, right? We find ourselves in a place of lack, of not having enough. And it's not that we've been lazy. We've been working hard with grief, with fatigue. We've maybe come to the end of ourselves. But Jesus is saying, now do it my way.
Yeah.
Now do it my way. You see, and this makes his response more understandable. He says, I don't understand. I don't understand all. I've done everything in my own strength. But at your word, I will let down the net.